You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 5th of December 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. We've managed to wake our way through another week. We have another few weeks left until Christmas and it's Friday, the end of the week, the day you're all looking forward to because I have with me today as my co-host, Mr. Grandpa Dan. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? How's life treating you?
Oh, it's a little chilly here this morning. It's hard to believe. Not only we made it to another Friday, but you know, we're almost done with this year. Doesn't it seem like time is just speeding up? Well, I don't know. In your case, maybe not. It maybe seemed like this year has drugged by, but for me, it's like yesterday was January and here we are. We're almost done with this year. It's really crazy.
It has passed pretty quickly, but some things remain the same, don't they? The same amount of crime goes on, an increase of crime that's particularly related to migration. But something new is the mainstream actually talking about it. And I have an article here today that I'd like us to have a look at, which is about President Trump. And we know Trump hasn't done all the things that we want him to do, but some of the things he says have been absolutely excellent. And we've got this article here today because he's saying the exact same things that we've been saying about the problems that are related with some migrant communities. The article that we're going to use comes from Breitbart and the headline is Trump slams Somali migrants, fix your own country. And that's something that we've been saying for a long time. If diversity is such a strength, why do the countries that the diversity comes from look such a mess? And that's effectively what Trump is saying. Somali migrants should go home to fix up their own country, President Donald Trump told his cabinet meeting on Tuesday. They come from hell and they complain and do nothing but bitch about Americans and America, he said, adding, we don't want them in our country, let them go back to where they came from and fix it. Now, just saying the phrase, go back to where they came from. Over here in Britain, they will try and say, oh, you're inciting hate. These people are exactly the same as us. They were born in the country. Well, it doesn't really matter where you're born, does it? If I was born in a barn, it wouldn't make me a horse. If I was born in Japan, it wouldn't make me Japanese. I'm a British man. And Somalians are an African nation, an African tribe, the Somali are. And they're a very different tribe from white Americans. Now, we know that there is a link between low IQ and a higher crime rate. We know that a lot of black African countries have IQs under 70, which is 30 points lower than the white average, and they have a higher crime rate. These are the reasons why their countries look the way that they do. And I know Trump isn't actually talking about IQ here, but this is the reason for what he is saying. Let them go back and fix their own country first before they start telling America how to fix America's country. I mean, what do you make of what's been said here about these Somalis, Grandpa? Have you had any dealings with them?
No, not really. I'm going to be kind of a wet blanket through this story because I'm jaded and pessimistic. So I can't help myself. It is, while it is refreshing, you've got the president of the United States saying some of these things. As you said, I mean, in Britain, it would be a hate crime, but everything in Britain is a hate crime from our perspective over here. We see these stories of different people being drug into the legal system over there. And honestly, we can't help but to snicker and scratch our heads because it's seems very dystopian. I see a lot of this. You've got Trump coming out of this and saying things like this. And I think some of it, though, honestly, is narrative control because it's become so obvious. I mean, you know, you can try to cover these things over with media spin and obfuscation and the censorship, but that only goes so far. And it's so obvious now that somebody has to say something. They just look silly by ignoring it. So, yeah, I think I look at this and I see it as kind of a flip side to the censorship issue, because it seems like, oh, wow, he's saying this really controversial thing. And again, I'm not downing what he's saying because it is obviously true, but that's just it. It's so obviously true. But yet it seems like a really big deal. Why? Because of the censorship. Because, as you've pointed out, people in Britain could be thrown in prison for saying something like what he said. So while it is, on the one hand, I suppose, somewhat refreshing, on the other hand, I can't pretend like this is some big revelation, because this is, you know, just something obviously true. And as we go through this, I'll kind of throw some more of my jaded pessimism in there. So just bear with me. Maybe think of it as kind of being a devil's advocate, if you would, as we go. But yes, I mean, he's stating the obvious, but let's be honest, it's obvious.
Well, he's also giving good reasons for it as well. I mean, not the IQ one, he comes up with another one. Getting back to the article, Trump's comments will likely prompt Democrats to defend Somali migrants amidst the growing evidence of widespread theft, embezzlement, migration fraud, and welfare cheating by many of the almost 100,000 government-imported Somali migrants in the state. And if you look up the details of this, the fraud that's gone on, it's like millions of dollars in welfare fraud, basically setting up fake medical companies, fake doctors, getting COVID money, getting medical insurance money. And it's literally been ripping the government off, basically. I mean, they haven't written about theft within the community or burglaries or anything like that. What they're talking about is ripping off the government, basically. And continuing with the article, there is so much evidence of organized crime that even the New York Times noted that Somali refugees who came to the United States after their country's civil war were raised in a culture in which stealing from the country's dysfunctional and corrupt government was widespread. And this is another point that nationalists make. We say, look, if you import these people from countries which are at war, countries which people are fleeing from, they will bring the same problems that beset that country into our own country. And this is what happens. Somalia is in a right state. It's dysfunctional, as they say here. The government are corrupt. And the people there are used to just stealing from the government. And that's effectively what they've been doing in America. And there's not just the corruption that goes on. You've also got violent feuds between different African groups, different tribal groups. You've got feuds between Hindus and Pakistani Muslims. You've got feuds between Muslims and Jews over Israel. We're hearing a lot about that at the moment in Britain. All of these problems, all of these ethnic strife, wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the government's multicultural immigration policy. And what do you make of what's being said here about even the New York Times noted this, Grandpa, that Somali refugees were raised in a culture in which stealing from the country's dysfunctional and corrupt government was widespread?
Well, I mean, again, who could have thought it? You import Somalia, you get Somalia. You know, we've made jokes for years about the magic dirt theory. If you just bring them to a different geographical location, then they will suddenly behave differently. No, if you take a city in Britain or America or Germany or wherever, it doesn't matter. If you import sub-Saharan Africa, you're going to get sub-Saharan Africa. I mean, because those nations, those countries are that way because of the people that live there. This is sort of, this strikes me as sort of like those stories you read where people like are shocked because their three pit bulls, when they put their toddler out there to play with their three pit bulls, they come out and the pit bulls have eaten the toddler, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Princess killed my child. You know, and you're kind of like, well, what do you expect? Now, yeah, sure, Trump has come out and talked about, you know, these people bringing this sort of thing here. It's, But what I would like to hear is why? Why are they here? This is the government-sponsored immigration, but why? Why this quality of people? Why these people? And in, they act like these people just spawned here. You know, I mean, yes, here in the article, they say, oh, well, government-sponsored migration. Okay, but why? Why were they brought here? And why is it the same tier of people have been brought into West, you know, into Europe, into Britain, into America? Let's hear about that. Let's hear. I would be really refreshed to see an article like this where Donald Trump announces that the Justice Department has investigated this. And at the very minimum, government employees, government workers who were responsible for this have been fired. Preferably, I would like to see some charges brought. These people didn't just spawn here. They were literally brought here. And I was saying this, you and I were saying this years ago. These people, when I read a story several years ago when it was a big deal, all these people are pouring across the Mexican border. But when you dig into the story at the time, it said the number one demographic that was coming across the U.S.-Mexico border were people from Haiti. And I was pointing out, and the same thing with the Somalians, these are people who don't have two nickels to rub together. They have no money. So you're not going to make a trip from the other side of the world to come to America with no money. So they were brought here. Who brought them here? Why were they brought here? Who paid for it? Yeah, I want to start. This is, I mean, it's great. He's pointing out obvious behavior from obvious people is obvious, but I want to hear about, well, who brought them here? I want to see somebody held accountable. Can we at least hear about, this agency did this and they've been coordinating, because we're supposed to at the same time buy into the idea that it's pure coincidence that the same quality of people, by and large, we're talking, you know, big picture here, have been brought into Britain, have brought into Europe, and brought into America. Okay, well, who's responsible for that? Why is that? We have this massive government surveillance and all of the rest of it. I want to know. Let's hear about who it is, what, why. There has to be a why. These people weren't just brought here because somebody felt like, oh, hey, this would be a great idea. So why were they brought here? Who's responsible for it? Get down to the nitty gritty on it. Then I'll get excited. Like I say, on the one hand, yes, I get it. It's great to see a public figure coming out and stating some of these things that we've been pointing out for a long time. But I mean, to me, when you get down to it, I want to see some meat. I want to see why they were brought here. Yeah, sure. They're all here and they behave unsurprisingly the same way they behave in their own country. I don't know why anybody would expect them to behave any differently, but why were they brought here? How about, you know, because these people didn't swim here. How about some holding to accountability, whoever it is that's responsible for bringing them here? Somebody brought them here. They didn't just get here on their own. They didn't get a canoe and start paddling from Somalia, from Africa all the way over here. Somebody literally paid to bring them here. And there has to be a why. It says here in the article, you know, government-sponsored immigration. Okay, well, government is people. There are people, there are names, there are people responsible for this. And I think the public is owed an explanation of the reasoning for it. If they have a good reason, they should just tell us. You know, even if they were wrong, we can be forgiving if somebody said, well, here was my reasoning, and you look at it and say, well, obviously you were incorrect, but at least I can understand the reason why you thought maybe importing Somalia would be great for the country. You know, then you'd have something. But no, we don't. We just get these vague, you know, government is people. Somebody made the decision. A group, an agency did, you know, took the action, spent the money to import all of these people. Why? What? You know, there has to be a reason. It's not pure coincidence. The same quality of people have gone to Britain, gone to Germany, gone to Europe in general, and to America. So the fact that we're not scratching that at all here, again, this is a part of, I think, part of the reason for my somewhat cynical outlook, Sven.
Well, I should imagine it's probably NGOs, isn't it? It's probably NGOs and charities that are responsible for this. And it's kind of like a reverse of the magic earth theory. if there's this theory that as soon as these migrants set foot on European soil, they become the equivalent of European citizens. Clearly, if the migrants set foot on the African soil, they become like African citizens, and that's why their countries are in a mess. It's the same sort of logic that says that they're magically just going to be the same as European citizens, when it's not actually that. It's in their genetics. It's in their genetics to create the surroundings that they have around them in Africa. It's not the magic soil. It's their genetics that actually cause this. If you invite them into our countries, then you're inviting the same problems into our countries that they have in theirs, particularly if you're then going to put diversity, inclusion and equity programs in, and you're going to put them in top positions, particularly in positions that have anything to do with the government, because then they're just going to be on the tape. They're going to introduce the same corruption that they had in Somalia. They will introduce into Britain. I mean, I do recommend people have a look at the links that I'll put with this article, actually talking about the massive amount of fraud that's gone on in Minnesota, just fraud and corruption. This is where they're centered, is in Minnesota. Getting back to the article, I don't want them in our country, Trump told his cabinet meeting, adding their country is no good for a reason. Their country stinks. I can say it about other countries too. We've got to. We have to rebuild our country. Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat Party, is garbage. She's garbage. Her friends are garbage. These aren't people that work. These aren't people that say, let's go, come on, let's make this place, Somalia, great. These are people that do nothing but complain. And I think they go after Ilhan Omar as she's anti-Semitic and she's a Muslim and all the rest of it. But I think that's just because she's on the left. I think more that's really the issue why he's going after her, I think, rather than the fact that she's Somalian. But because she is Somalian, he's sort of shoehorning her into this and referencing her in this. I do find it interesting that he says their country stinks. And I should imagine he has actually been to their country, and he's probably speaking the truth there. They probably do have an issue with toilets. In Africa, a lot of people won't use a toilet that's plumbed in to the water supply. They don't think it's hygienic. It's the same as in India. There's a lot of outdoor outdoor refuse that is all over the place because people just go to the toilet outdoors, and that is going to make the country stink. And this is the sort of thing that we hear happening in these refugee hotels, where you have the so-called refugees who aren't used to using plumbed in toilets, who aren't used to using toilet paper, who will just go outside and drop their drawers and squat on the ground outside of the hotel if they need to go to the toilet. These are the sort of things that you hear happening there. So he's speaking quite truthfully here. And of course, you'd be accused of insulting the nation or insulting the people by saying this. But, it's actually a fact that their country very likely does stink because of lack of sanitation. I mean, what do you think of his remarks here, Grandpa? What do you think of Ilhan Omar?
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, he's going to point her out because she's on Team D. She's also, I believe, one of the few voices that have been somewhat critical of Israel. I don't think that's a non-issue here. But when we were talking and you brought it up here, you called it magic earth. I call it the magic dirt theory. It's the same thing. And, you know, the idea that if you move the geographical location, the people somehow become different. Now, it's easy to say that and act like, okay, but the people who promote this idea are just somehow naive and silly. See, I can't give that benefit of the doubt. I just can't. It's an obvious lie. I mean, it's such a stupid lie, and it's obviously so silly. A child wouldn't believe that. That I don't believe the people who have promoted the idea really believe that. I believe that's a lie. And it's just something they tell people, oh, if we bring them here, well, they're going to adapt to our culture and just, you know, become British or American or whatever. That's so silly. I can't, you know, I just can't believe that somebody naively holds such a position. Or I'm sorry, such a idea is actually true. Now, you brought up these people also being, because of the DEI or whatever, put into positions, where they have some authority and whatever. And again, this is intentional. Again, who? Okay, Trump, but who? Who's responsible? Let's see some accountability. Let's see some accountability. As far as people being elected, there was a story here a while back, and of course, this was back when you were still, shall we say, on vacation, and they were. It was somewhere in Minnesota. There's a lot of Somalians, and it was in one of the cities there. And there was this big article. There was an article in the news bemoaning the fact that this one political position had always been held by a Jewish person. There's been a Jewish person that had this political position. Whenever they'd hold an election, a Jewish person would get elected. And they were bemoaning the fact that for the first time, basically ever, a Somalian had been instead elected to that position. Well, you got to let the people vote. You bring them in, they're going to vote for their own people. This is another side of this that doesn't seem to ever get mentioned. These people, they're very racially aware. And I'm not just saying Somalian, basically anybody but white people. They're very racially aware. When you look at a company and a large company, and they have all of these Indians, for instance, in these departments, that run the entire department. When you look into how that came about, well, they hired, the white people at the time that were running it were like, oh, well, we want to hire the best person. So they look around and they decide to hire this Indian. Well, when the Indian gets a say-so, his goal is to hire more Indians. And pretty soon, everybody else is pushed out, white, black, whoever. And you have nothing but Indians running it because their goal is to hire more Indians, more of their racial kin. This is not a shock. We're supposed to be surprised because we've been indoctrinated with this altruism, this, everybody's the same, whatnot idea. And it just blows people away that nobody else actually believes that nonsense. That's just a white people thing. And then they're shocked. It's like, well, how come all the white people have been replaced by Indians? Well, because their goal is to help out their Indians out. We're supposed to be surprised by this. Nobody else in the world is playing by these nonsensical make-believe values, rules, except for white people. Now, then white people want to sit around and bitch and moan that, well, I call this company, all I get are Indians. Well, yeah, because Indians are trying to get other Indians into a better spot. Chinese are going to try to get other Chinese into a better spot. Somalians are going to try to promote Somalians. The problem here is, and I guess I'm getting kind of off on a tangent, but the problem here isn't what they're doing. It's because of the attitude that these white people have, and it's been weaponized against them. So, yeah, they've already imported these people. So now they're going to complain now, that, oh, well, they're getting elected to positions of power. Well, of course, because they're going to promote their own people. We're going to be upset because they don't have the same silly idea of, oh, well, we don't care about that racial stuff. We're going to just be completely colorblind. Well, nobody else, and they bring these people in, they're hyper clannish. They're hyper aware of who is their people and who is not. And then you're shocked when it blows up in your face. This comes back to, again, this has all been done intentionally. This didn't just, some well-meaning people made some poor decisions because they just saw these people living in a really poor country and thought, that's sad. Let's bring them here. They can have a better life. They were just well-meaning. They were just misguided. No, they're not. These are all silly lies. They don't believe it. It was done intentionally. Again, I'll get excited when I start hearing about, names named, who was responsible for this, and that the government is actually going after these people. Because, the Somalians aren't the only ones doing fraud. Where did the money come from? There's money with the USAID stuff earlier this year. We know that was just scratching the surface. People have been lining their pockets through this sort of thing. I guarantee you they could bring federal indictments against those responsible. But instead we're going to get more lip service about how shocked we are that when you import Somalians, they act like Somalians.
Well, they have been saying some of this has been covered up by the Democrats as well. But getting back to the article here, Trump's criticism of the migrant Somali population and the prior federal policy of importing many unskilled Somali migrants, so it was actually a federal policy to do this, comes amidst growing evidence that many leading Somalis embezzled more than $1 billion from various aid and welfare programs for autistic children, hungry children, coronavirus aid, home buyers, and sick people. And there's just one here. If we look on X, Wall Street Apes, it says, Minnesota man on taxpayer-funded Medicaid is now living in Kenya and requested his billing records. A fake Somalian company has been billing Medicaid for over $200,000 worth of fake services. And the Minnesota Department of Human Services saw no issue with this. They also used fake employee names and stock images for photos on their website. Investigations expose yet another state program designed to help people in need being ransacked by alleged fraud. So there's this company that built under my insurance named Action Therapy LLC. They're based in Minnesota. So this is just one instance of this fraud that's going on. It's massive amounts of fraud that have been going on there that have been taken away from the people that need it. We're told, oh, well, there's all this solidarity with these people on the left. There's this intersectional solidarity. Quite clearly, there wasn't any solidarity between Somalis and autistic children, hungry children, coronavirus aid, home buyers and sick people. They were just thinking of themselves. It continues, it is difficult for Somali migrants to assimilate into the individualistic US culture, which is far different from their clannish, conflict-prone, Islam-dominated nation that has been wrecked by multiple civil wars since the 1970s. Well, if that's the case, then why was there this prior federal policy of importing them into Britain? This is the point that we make as nationalists. Our governments know very well the sort of problems that go on in the countries that they are importing people into our country from. It's not like they don't know this. The CIA know this. The State Department knows this. The whole of the American government knows this. And yet they were still inviting them into America. And it's not until now, when before President Trump actually points this out, that we're allowed to actually talk about it. I mean, why would you import somebody from a country that's been wrecked by multiple civil wars? I mean, we're told all the time we should be accepting in these refugees because they come from countries that are at war and we should be feeling sorry for them. But the other side of that coin is, if they're from a country that is at war, they've likely seen some really, really awful things. And they're probably used to stealing in order to get by. They're probably used to using guns to shoot people. And then you're bringing them into a country like Britain that doesn't even have any guns. And then you wonder why you have these problems. So it's not just with Somali migrants. It's also with Afghan migrants. It's with migrants from a lot of these countries around the world that we are importing into our country, particularly the ones that are claiming to be refugees. Because if they're claiming to be a refugee, they're effectively admitting that they come from a failed country. And they were the people themselves who built that country. And instead of staying behind in that country to try and rebuild it, which is what Trump is saying, why don't they go back to Somalia and rebuild their country first? Instead of doing that, they're fleeing their country and coming into ours. So it's really not a positive thing that there is about these refugees. It reminds me, I went to Turkey some years back before I was a nationalist, and I got on well with the Turks there. I was playing the drums with them. And I said to them, what are the Turks like that are in Britain? And they said, don't have anything to do with them. They said, they're the very worst people. They said, migrants are always the very worst people of our country that we don't want in our country. So they leave our country and go to yours. Have nothing to do with them. And this was what this Turkish guy said to me. And, you know, I didn't really understand that at the time. I thought, well, he's been a bit negative about his people. But I do understand that now. And yet we're told that these people that are refugees, we should be feeling sorry for them. When in a lot of cases, they're the sort of people that you really, that they're not even wanted in their own country. That's why they're a refugee. Why would we want them in ours? What do you make of what it says here about the Islam-dominated nation that Somalia is, Grandpa?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head with the question, is the why. And I really think that is the central question. If you're getting to the truth, this is the central question that isn't answered. Again, it's great. You got the president of the United States coming out and stating, you know, obvious facts, you know, that these people aren't contributing a lot. And that's all well and good. But that really is a whole lot of frosting and not a lot of cake. You know, the why is the real question. Because, again, obviously this was done by accident. This was done intentionally. And not just in America, but in Europe, in Britain. So why and who? You know, this is obviously a concerted effort. If you go and search up white replacement theory, you're going to find every mainstream source is going to inform you that that is a white supremacist conspiracy theory, that there's some sort of plan to replace the white populations with these other people. And yet, you know, this again, then why are they doing what they're doing? Now, I will take one real I take a problem from one of the things you just read here, and they blame the prior administration as though this just started. This is before Joe Biden administration. We didn't have any of this. See, when Joe Biden got in there, they just started importing Somali, and that's BS. You could go back, you know, George Bush started importing people from these countries back when he was president. This isn't a Team D thing. I mean, sure, the Biden administration might have poured gas on that fire, but to imply that, oh, well, this just started when the Team D Biden administration was in there. They're the ones that started doing this. That's BS. Somalis were coming into the country when Trump was in there last time. They were coming into the country under Biden. They were coming into the country under Obama. They were coming into the country under George W. Bush. So when they try to play this into, and because this is Breitbart, so they're going to rah-rah TMR here. But to act like, oh, but this just started under Joe Biden, that's as nonsensical as when you watch a video or read an article about police state activity here in the U.S. and some Team D cheerleader comes on there and talks about, this is what you get because you got Trump in there. Like, that just started 9 months ago or something. No, this is a long-standing concerted effort. And again, while it's great that Trump is pointing out some obvious things here, I want to see, I'll get excited when we start hearing about the who is responsible, who's being held accountable, and why it's been done.
Well, they get to that in the next bit of the article, actually. Many Americans in the state have noticed the evidence of massive fraud, even as top Democrat politicians deep-sixed much evidence provided by state officials. Trump's deputies at the Department of Homeland Security have stepped up the arrests of migrants in Minnesota after investigating widespread migration fraud. Many Democrats are downplaying the massive fraud as they defend the Somali leaders who should have exposed the crimes. That defense may alienate swing voters in the upcoming 2026 election. Somali activists and self-proclaimed leaders in Minnesota are also trying to divert attention and to portray migrants as victims. So what they're saying there is that it's the Democrat Party that they're playing down this, and that they're trying to hide this. And that's, I guess that's similar to the Labour Party trying to play down the grooming gangs and trying to downplay that, because Prime Minister Keir Starmer was the chief prosecutor at the time of the grooming gangs. And a lot of these gangs were operating in areas that were run by the Labour Party. So that's why they play this down. So I'm guessing Minnesota and the areas with the large Somali populations are run by the Democrats. So they're playing down this this amount of fraud. And people have been exposing it. People have been reporting it. And instead of actually working with the investigators, so the Democratic Party have been shutting them down. That's what some of these other links that I've been having a look at today are actually saying. And this last sentence here, this is what they do. They try to portray the migrants as the victims when they're the ones that are carrying out the fraud. And it's the same over here in Britain. They try to portray the migrants as victims, and maybe some of them are, but there are also ones that are carrying out rapes and sexual assaults and molesting women and propositioning children. And it's a much higher percentage of them doing that than you would find amongst other communities. I mean, just amongst Afghans, they're 20 times more likely to carry out rapes and sexual assaults against women than white people. And that's Afghans themselves, not the refugee community, which may contain Afghans, Syrians and all sorts. I don't think they keep records that are actually coming from the refugee community, but just from the amount of offences that we see reported, there's at least one every week that is surrounding like a refugee hotel. There's at least one report of sexual assault every week, I would suggest. So many of them that you lose count. That's what a lot of these protests are about. And the mainstream media's answer to that and the government's answer to that is to portray the migrants as the victims when it's not. It's the children that are the victims. They're the ones that are being molested. And here, the victims are the people that were expecting these charities to help them out, and instead the money's been siphoned off to the Somalis. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts today on all this?
Well, your Turkish acquaintance has really hit the nail on the head. You're not getting, you know, what you're getting is basically the refuse from these other countries. I remember back in the 80s under Reagan, you know, they announced, the U.S. government announced that basically anyone that came here from Cuba would be taken in because they're all refugees, they're all victims. So the Castro regime said, well, fine, we have all of these people in our prisons. You want them? You got them. And they just dumped their prisons onto boats and sent them across to Florida. So you wound up with a bunch of, you know, fairly non-desirable population. Some of those people were being politically persecuted. I'm not downplaying that. But, you know, when there's a program to import people from other countries, those countries are not going to send you their best people. They're going to send you the ones that they don't want to support and they're pay for to keep in their prisons and everything, you know, mental asylums and everything else. I'll tell you what I think this is about. Why is Trump saying this now? And what I think this is about is Trump's been in there less than a year. And already there's been major pushback on several of the things he's done from his own supporters. And one of the big pushbacks earlier this year was he came out and was talking about how we need to import even more Indians on the H-1B and on the H-1B visas, which just replace Americans in their, you know, what were formerly better paying jobs, because the corporations, these technological corporations, Silicon Valley people, they love it. They make more. They increase shareholder value by importing these people that work cheaper and replacing Americans. We all know it's a widely abused program to bring these people in. And Trump came out broadly supporting it, saying we need to bring in a lot more people. We need to bring in a lot more people on H-1B. And again, in America, at least, when you say H-1B, people already associate that with bringing in more Indians. And there was a massive amount of pushback, and people are still upset about that. So I think a lot of this stuff where Trump is coming out and making these statements about the Somalians, I think this is a lot of, oh, look, he's really talking against the immigration. You know, he's really MAGA-ing here. He's talking about doing something about these Somalians. And I think a lot of that is diverting attention away from the pushback, the negative blowback, negative publicity he was getting from his own supporter base over his statements a few months ago about how he really wants to bring in even more Indians to replace American jobs. Democracy, Sven, isn't it just wonderful?
Yeah, you just couldn't make it up, could you? As a fiction, you know, reality is far more interesting, far more bizarre than any fiction could ever be. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.